On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin set all-time highs for the number of coronavirus tests and the number of positive results on Friday. And in recent days, our state has increased testing capacity to 50 labs and is recruiting and training just an arsenal of contact tracers. That's a key piece of the governor's Badger Bounce Back Plan. So what questions do you have about the state's response to COVID-19? What do you want to know about businesses deemed essential or non-essential? Have you or a loved one contracted COVID-19? What do you want to tell the head of the health department? We're at 800-642-1234. Andrea Palm is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Secretary Palm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. It's good to talk to you again.
You are getting a ton of pressure to reopen the economy, and now the high court is involved. Do you think May 26th is a realistic date to keep Wisconsinites at home?
Mm-hmm. So we certainly think that Safer at Home is working. Our models tell us it's working. The people of Wisconsin have been unbelievable partners in helping us flatten the curve, but there certainly is more work to do, right? The Badger Bounce Back Plan helps us have a framework for that, and one of those key indicators is this downward trajectory in number of positive cases as a percent of total tests. And we're very flat on that metric, and we need to start pushing it down. We need to see that downward trend to make sure that we are in a position to continue to protect our frontline healthcare workers and our hospital systems. And so we are making really good progress, but we still have work to do.
Critics of the Bounce Back Plan say that it has vague and ambiguous language, and it's a plan that's better suited for a state with a severe outbreak. Is the plan too constrictive? Are the metrics unachievable, and that would perhaps make it inconceivable for our economy to actually have a chance to bounce back?
Mm-hmm. So I think there are a couple things folks need to remember. I think one is on the front end were very inclusive of our definition of essential business. We have more businesses who have remained open in Wisconsin than many other states. And while it's not enough, and we are working hard to get to a place where more things can open up, people also need to remember that this is a highly contagious disease that without a vaccine or medical intervention, we are all still susceptible to it. And our tools to prevent infection are physical and social distancing, and then paired with this increase in testing and contact tracing. So when we do have cases, we can wrap around them quickly and prevent the spread. But those basic public health tools are what we have. And so we've got to continue to double down on our ability to stay physically distanced so that we don't have a surge in cases that does jeopardize our healthcare system.
And in recent days, you have loosened restrictions for certain businesses. How does DHS decide which businesses can open and which must remain closed? What sectors mm-hmm. to remain closed?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question, Kate. And, you know, we're very focused on turning the dial when we can on really helping our businesses and our communities start to see some semblance of normal. But we do that right through the lens of our public health experts and their advice around what is risky, which is why you saw us equalizing this curbside pickup and drop-off, right? That was available already to a number of businesses. And so we leveled the playing field for other small businesses who could do curbside pickup and drop-off. We thought that was, based on the advice we got from our experts, a low-risk opportunity to allow more commerce without increasing the infection risk for our citizens. So that's the kind of calculations we're making as we're considering and thinking about how to progress through Badger Bounce Back, get us to a place where we are more open.
You have aligned this morning with DHS Secretary Designee Andrea Palm, the state's top health official. What questions do you have about the state's response to the coronavirus? What do you want to know? Are you in self-quarantine? Tell us about your situation and what you want clarity on. We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary, you know, a part of the bounce back plan is this criteria of 14 days trending downward in the number of new cases and the trajectory of those cases. Can you explain for us about this 14 days? What are you looking for?
So I think one of the things that that we did in developing Badger Bounce Back was look around the country at people who've been thinking a lot about this. So national public health experts, state and local experts, and obviously we took a close look at the White House plan around thinking about how to safely reopen. And one of the common threads in those, in the advice we got, was this idea that a 14-day downward trajectory is an important indicator that you are moving in the right direction in a time frame that gives confidence that it's sticking, right? That it's actually real. And then this idea in our plan that you do it as a percent of positive tests is designed to smooth out daily bumps in the data so that you're not subject to a good day and a bad day throwing you off course, but you can look at it as a trend, as a trajectory, and an indicator that you're moving in the right direction.
Have you been seeing that at all in the numbers? What metrics are you watching most closely?
Mm-hmm. So on the Badger Bounce Back section of our website, we do have a dashboard that lays out those gating criteria and shows our trend lines and our trajectories over the 14 days. And it is a rolling 14 days. So a new day comes into the window and the first day, you know, falls off. And so you roll it forward on a 14-day time frame. We are super flat on our percent of positive cases as a percent of total tests. And we really do want to see that start to move in this downward trajectory, and as of yet we continue to be very flat, somewhere in just around 10% of cases are positive, which is very consistent with what we've seen internationally, but we've got to get to a place where it's moving downward, which is also what has happened internationally as people have started to feel comfortable to reopen up. They've seen a lower than 10% rate on a day-over-day trajectory.
And in terms of the modeling that you look at, what models have been helpful?
So we've done a few modeling exercises at the Department of Health Services. This most recent one that we did in consultation with some folks at Johns Hopkins, as well as some folks at UW. We've also looked at the Washington model. And I think what's really important about our most recent model, which is also on our website for folks to take a look at, but we looked at a number of scenarios to try to understand what behaviors and what interventions would need to be in place to allow us to ease off on Safer at Home and move through Badger Bounce Back. And what we found through those scenarios is what we all sort of know to be true, which is that testing and isolation and contact tracing are key pieces of being able to effectively manage this disease. And that is why you saw us really try to ramp on testing and contact tracing.
We're talking with the head of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Andrea Palm, with your questions front and center at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Health officials say contact tracing can help determine how people contracted COVID-19, and it's a way to potentially reduce the spread of the disease. State officials are also staging community testing sites in places with a lack of access to testing or where additional testing is needed because of high rates of the virus. So we're looking at these recent developments with Wisconsin's top health official on the line. We have DHS Secretary Designee Andrea Palm. What do you think of our state's approach to try to flatten the curve and manage the outbreak? What is going on in other states to combat this pandemic that you want Wisconsin to adopt? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Secretary Palm stays with us. Let's take a call now. Steve is joining us from Sun Prairie this morning. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think one of the challenges we have here is the moving goalposts. You know, when the Safer at Home order was originally put in place, and I might add without consensus from the Republicans, which was a mistake, it was done with the thought that we have to flatten the curve so that our hospitals don't get overrun. I check every single day the WHA website and look at the number of hospitalizations, and it's pretty much flat around 350. If I remember right, the peak was around April 8th, give or take, about 446, maybe 406, I don't recall specifically. But that mission has been accomplished. There is no reason to move the goalposts, and it shouldn't be done without consensus of the Republicans. And that is a mistake that Tony is making. I'm wondering if the secretary...
Yeah, thank you for the call. And as Steve is saying, you know, we flattened the curve, so why not reopen, Secretary Palm?
Mm-hmm. So I think there are a number of things that folks need to remember. One, this was an important thing that we did together, and everybody in Wisconsin pitched in, and it's really been remarkable. Second, the virus remains the same. It is still a highly infectious disease that, absent behavior change, absent these interventions, would surge again. And so we've got to find the sweet spot, which is what the governor talks about with turning the dial. How do you turn the dial safely so that we can return to some more normal life without increasing the risk to the point that we have a surge that overwhelms the healthcare system? And part of that calculation are the tools we need to put in place to prevent that from happening. That is increased testing, that is safe isolation, and that is contact tracing. And that is the work that we have been doing throughout Safer at Home and that we continue to do and that we are making progress on, but that we still have some additional work to do to make sure we've got those boots on the ground to do the hand-to-hand combat with this disease so it does not surge again.
Well, let's talk about contact tracing. The Milwaukee Health Department now has 54 people dedicated to these case investigations, up from 19 the week before. How many contact tracers are there in the state now?
Yeah, so we also have surged contact tracing assets into the system, around 150 so far, and continue to work to do more in that space. We're also looking at how we can use technology to improve our contact tracing so that the flow of information is there, so that anybody who's doing contact tracing can make sure that interview is integrated into the system so that local public health has access to it, et cetera. So we're working through a number of issues to make sure that our contact tracing is in for the long haul like we need it to be. But it is a very fundamental tool in public health that we've been using for centuries and will be fundamental to our ability to really stop the spread of this disease.
Judy called from Appleton and couldn't stay with us, but Judy wants to know more about how to become a contact tracer. And she said she's healthy, not a medical worker, but has a college degree. Mm-hmm. What about recruitment?
Yeah. So we do get a number. Thank you, Judy. Thank you. And we do get a number of folks like Judy who reach out on a daily basis and have stood up an HR process to allow those folks to apply and come through the system and then be deployed into the system. I'll make sure, Kate, that I get you you guys that
HR clearinghouse. Okay.
Yes. So that you can get that out to Judy and to others. I'm sorry, I don't have it on the tip of my brain at the moment.
So are the contract tracers working out of their own homes? Is there a central emergency operation center, or does that vary around the state?
Mm-hmm. So we anticipate that it will vary. Right, local public health, this is their purview, it's their domain, it's their expertise, and different communities are doing it a little bit differently. The capacity we have brought on at the state level, those folks are predominantly doing it remotely. They're doing phone interviews. And we anticipate, right, with social distancing, a lot of it will remain over the phone for the protection of those contact tracers, as well as potential folks who've been potentially exposed to the disease. But local communities are going to be critical partners in helping us make sure we have a system that works for communities all across the state.
We're talking with Andrea Palm, the Secretary Designee of the State Department of Health Services, and you can bring your questions on COVID-19 and the state response as you see it at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in David now in Boscobel. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for the Secretary. With this extended stay-at-home orders, what are you doing to track the unintended consequences of higher incidence of domestic abuse and alcoholism and suicide from people who are just in despair as a result of this?
Yeah, that is a great question, and is certainly one that I lose sleep over. Isolation is not good for people's behavioral health, for their mental health and well-being, and we certainly want to make sure that people have access to the services they need, whether it's healthcare or behavioral healthcare. And so we have done a number of things as it relates to suspending administrative regulations to make sure that things like telehealth are available in the behavioral health space, so that folks can continue to have access to professionals who can help them. We also have launched a Resilient Wisconsin campaign. The first piece of this has focused on our frontline healthcare workers, who many of whom are more like first responders at the moment. They're in roles that that are more acute, more stressful, more impacting on their mental health than their normal healthcare life was before the pandemic. And so our first module has been really focused on the behavioral health and well-being of our frontline workers. But there are lots of resources in our Resilient Wisconsin webpage for folks who are feeling that isolation themselves. And we have amped up and added resources to our crisis hotlines and to other tools that we want to make sure folks have access to if they're feeling depressed, anxious, suicidal, so that we can protect Wisconsinites, both their physical health but their emotional health as well.
Secretary, as you talk about frontline workers, part of the bounce back plan is to make sure healthcare workers have adequate access to testing. What do you envision is a robust testing program for frontline healthcare workers?
Mm-hmm. We've been working closely with our partners in the healthcare system, and many of them are working on and looking at protocols for how you think about testing healthcare workers, as well as patients who, you know, that's the other piece of this is issues around deferred care. You know, folks who weren't emergently or urgently ill have seen their access to healthcare reduced, and we've got to get back to a place where those folks can get the treatment that they need before it does become urgent and emergency. And so you've got to protect healthcare workers in that scenario, but you've also got to protect those patients who are coming into healthcare settings. And so we want to make sure that that healthcare systems have access to testing. Part of our testing assets have definitely been surged and made available to healthcare systems so that they can do what they need to do to test in a robust way their healthcare workers and their patients.
Facility-wide investigations, a new data tracking tool that you are putting out there. What should we know about these facility investigations, mostly in the southern part of the state and specifically at nursing homes and facilities in senior care?
Yeah. So we, right from the very beginning, we have been concerned about and focused on settings where folks who are most vulnerable to severe disease live, and that's nursing homes, that's assisted living, that's other kinds of congregate settings. And so we are certainly seeing, as you suggested, Kate, that a good number of the investigations we are currently involved in are in long-term care settings. And our trigger for that, because they are a vulnerable population, is a single positive case. And that could be a patient who lives there, a resident, or it could be staff, because we think it's really important to be focused on it, to get there as quickly as possible, to wrap around it and make sure that that single case doesn't turn into more. And so it is a top priority for us, and we will continue to focus on those vulnerable populations for sure.
Secretary, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Kate. Have a good day.
You too. Andrea Palm, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, back after a news update on the Ideas Network.